This is Report, posted by Liam O'Brien of Wallingford Radio on the full council meeting held on the 22nd of March and headlined Mayor and Fair. This audio version is brought to you by Wallingford and District Talking Newspaper. Still in the darkness of a winter evening, 31 participants joined together at 7 p.m. to take part in the Wallingford Council Teams meeting. On the agenda for today is the election of a new mayor, allowing the Mayfair to go ahead, and extending the lease on the railway, among other agenda items.
After the normal opening items, we move swiftly on to public participation. First up was Steve Holder, speaking in respect of the ongoing litter picking programme, running in conjunction with Grab a Bag Wallingford. They are now working in conjunction with SODC to improve collection, as well as providing some signs for picking on the bypass. In advance of an expected surge of domestic tourism, they are also working on additional posters, extra bins and more collections. The Wallingford for All campaign is moving forwards and has briefed the MP who is showing support, including a visit. In the future, education trips are being planned in conjunction with the school. Following Steve, Jennifer Dixon spoke with regard to her belief that the town centre should be made safer for residents. While praising the town for its character and spirit, she suggested that marking the town centre pedestrian-friendly, along the lines of a European piazza, would improve the use and the safety of the town centre, especially for more elderly residents. Councillor Rob McGregor highlighted that Councillor Sudbury is running an ongoing survey into the issue, and his contact details were offered. Kath Somerville also spoke with regards to a statement on the Better website that the swimming pool would be closed all season, and she requested a comment. It appeared that the council was unaware of this potential development, although it may not be definitive. Steve Holder is due to speak at District Council with this later in the week, with the understanding that as yet no final decision has been made. It was generally held that it would be best if the pool could be opened, if at all possible. Claire Elkin commented that she has spoken to the regional director from Better, who stated that the decision sits with the District Council. With that, the public participation was closed, and the council moved on to accepting minutes from committees, before swiftly jumping into chairman's communications, which were very brief.
The minutes of prior meetings were accepted without query. Moving rapidly through the agenda, we arrived at the Tourism Committee, which has suggested shifting the mooring seasons to match that of the Environment Agency, their on and off season, while also making minor adjustments to mooring charges. Councillor Lester queried costs for signage, although no research had been done prior. It was awaiting the decision from Council. There was also a question regarding the measurement of boat sizes, as this can relate to charges incurred. It was moved that stud markers be placed at 5 metre intervals to assist assessing boat size. Following was a personnel committee proposal regarding upgrading the existing employee policies to a modern standard. Councillor Cattermole spoke against the move, including the language in the policy, including his statement that councillors also provide physical work, especially the River Working Group. Councillor McGregor rebutted that the policy change moves to protect both, workers and staff. The matter moved to a vote and was passed by a majority. Parks and Gardens had recommended increasing the allotment charges for full plots, raising the charge to £40 against an existing half-plot charge of £20. It was stated the average national charges are at least £1 a week, with Councillor Beattie speaking against any increase. Councillor Hughes stated the allotments lose money, and due to the ongoing financial situation, it would be unfair to the town at large to subsidise allotment users. The motion was passed. Having previously moved to recruit a tourism, business and community development manager, the council formally voted to withdraw that position due to the current financial situation. This motion was passed and the role was withdrawn.
We now move to the mayoral election. The councillors voted via text message to the council officers in a secret ballot, putting themselves forward for nomination were Councillor Marcus Harris and Councillor Keats Rowan. After some delay over the text voting system, with some votes being declared verbally, Marcus Harris was elected as mayor to take up the role for the 2021-2022 year. The council's responsible finance officer, the RFO, spoke regarding an update to the council's financial situation. Unallocated general reserves stand at £77,889.25. She highlighted the need for circumspect future spending decisions. Councillor Mayor-elect Harris stated that given the current situation, the council would potentially run out of reserves within a year. The resignation of the town clerk was discussed next, with the council looking to begin recruitment of a new clerk. The personnel committee has updated the job description to suit the current situation, and the position is currently advertised. Councillor Cattermole questioned the location or the means of the advertising, suggesting a wider posting than some previous job postings, which was supported by Councillor Harris. Paula, retiring clerk, was thanked for her service over the last years.
The council discussed opening the Kinecroft for the May Fair. The fair has requested the event go ahead, with questions being asked over the implementation of COVID regulations and provisions. The fair has provided a video of a quiet fair, although doubts were raised how cleanliness could be maintained in the face of large audiences. Councillor Dalton stated the fair does appear to have great risk assessments, although they cannot control the attending public. Councillor Beacham also spoke regarding a concern about large audiences, especially given access to the Kinecroft cannot be restricted. This is because it is public land with public footpaths passing through it. Councillor Sinkinson suggested that entertainment for teenagers would be welcome, especially in the light of mental health concerns resulting from the pandemic, while Councillor Holford restated that COVID restrictions timeline, querying if it was reasonable. Councillor Beattie suggested that the public should be left to their own devices, while Councillor Harris spoke in favour of the fair owners. However, he stated his conflicting feelings on the matter. Councillor Lester suggested that hosting the fair would be irresponsible, suggesting that, as it would be one of the first events, people from surrounding villages would travel in. Councillor Wilder opined that, as the fair would be allowed under the restrictions, it would be of benefit to the residents, before suggesting the possible input of the police on the matter. Councillor Dalton expressed his experience bunkfest planning, including that a Kinecroft event cannot be ticketed or access restricted. Councillor Beattie stated again that people should be free to make their own decisions. The arguments carried on in that vein, with Councillor Robb moving to a vote on the motion, which was carried, leaving the fair to comply with national restrictions, but to go ahead with regards to the council. The councillor was keen to stress that rules should be monitored and followed closely.
The Cholsey and Wallingford Railway Society lease was up next, with Councillor Holford providing an update. The coffee pod will be moved to railway land, but will remain. The railway had previously requested a 25-year extension to the lease, currently set to expire in 2034. The new proposal would be an 85-year lease extension to bring it in alignment with the Lidl lease. This would grant the railway a lease extension until 2119. It was also suggested that the new lease would include the existing index-linked rent increases incorporated from the current lease. It was further clarified that the railway would pay for the legal costs associated with extending the lease. There were some questions over the index provisions, as well as possible future rent increases. It was also suggested that a break clause be inserted in case of future requirements changing. Councillor Beattie moved that a 99-year lease may stymie possible moves to open up the commuter line in the near future. Councillor Sinkinson suggested that the commuter line would be of benefit and questioned if the lease extension might affect that. The motion was taken to a vote, with the lease being extended to 25 years from 2034. With a break clause, with the railway returning to council possession in regards of a commuter line becoming viable. With regards to a rent increase, Councillor Beattie suggested a rent increase may not be financially viable to the railway. The current rent is in the region of £2,000 a year, which Councillor Wilder wanted to confirm wouldn't get out of control. It was suggested a full rent review at the original breakpoint of 2034 would be sensible, in addition to the 25-year lease extension, which was carried by vote.
Now, at 2034, Councillor Robb moved the meeting onto an update from the Communications Working Party. Councillor Dan presented his insights into the history of the Council's communications with the wider public and the effectiveness of those efforts. He stated that most of the ideas have come from outside the Council and presented during his outreach efforts. Strategies to improve future communications are being worked on, including in the short term, holding a public forum for those who may be interested in joining the Council in May. He stated the group's desire to improve the number and quality of applicants to Council positions. Councillor Newcombe asked for a future communication strategy outside of social media, as he was concerned that reliance on it may limit exposure. It was confirmed that this was in process. For openness, Wallingford Radio did take part in one of the working group meetings. There was a wider discussion about the general communications issues with the Council, discussing the methods of moving forwards. It was accepted that the Communications Working Party was in its early stages, and it is hoped that the group will show results over time. Councillor Robb finally covered future agenda items before moving the meeting to confidential matters, and the public meeting wrapped up at 20:49. And the above has been a report on the council meeting based on the Wallingford Radio being present. It is not intended as official minutes, which will be produced by the council at some point. Any mistakes or errors are my own, says Liam O'Brien, and I will correct them on request. We will continue to cover local council meetings and all other local news where possible. That's Wallingford Radio.